Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Thursday edition of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we welcome in our DraftKings Network friends and family alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Got a great hour ahead. In about 30 minutes, Sean Merriman is going to join us, three-time All-Pro linebacker. We can get some of his thoughts on the current state of the Chargers defense, one that he was fantastic on back in the day. And then at the end of the hour, our guy Mike Palm, VP of Operations from right here where I broadcast from, Circa Resort and Casino, he's going to hop on the line for Palm's Pressing 3. But Michael, where we're going to start, Thursday Night Football. We got a great game coming up tonight. The Cincinnati Bengals paying a visit to the Baltimore Ravens. 3.5 points are the spread. The total has ticked up. For all the primetime unders we've been talking about, this one has been bet up to 46.5 points right now. For anybody who missed it in hour one, how are you feeling about the way things are going to shake out tonight?
You know, I look at this game and I try to picture it in my head, right? How's it going to go? What's going to happen? You know, who's got the advantage? And I watch the Bengal defense, and I'm really not impressed at all. They have not been able to get control of the game. Teams have run the ball on them. You know, last week they gave up over 500 against the 49ers. Even though that was a great win, they won it with their offense. So for me, you know, Baltimore's going to move the ball. I think there's no question Baltimore's going to move the ball. But then I think about how teams in the North seem to always play in tight games, right? And we gave out that number yesterday in our betting tip, right? That the North is just really a very tight conference. And and they're able to cover the line. And if you just take the dog, it's been very profitable. So the better side of me wants to take
Here, Michael, take a sip of water. You can catch your breath for a second. But yeah, cement your thought process there, the AFC North division games, the stat that he's talking about that we had as a pro tip earlier this week, underdogs in AFC North division games, 69-46-3 over the last decade, 500 ATS or better, 9 of the last 10 years. So it has been very profitable to take the underdog in these situations. And our guy, Mike Somich, professional handicapper, host of the handle here on VSiN, he joined us in hour one and he did like taking the dog in the Cincinnati Bengals today. I have a hard time with this game, Michael, because I feel like the Ravens are the better team and I want to back them at home to have success tonight. I'm just not sure if I can get there because of the reasons that you mentioned. You okay? Do you have water? I gotta get you some water.
No, I'm good. Just something happened to me here. I really like the Ravens. I just can't take them.
Yeah.
They give away the lead in the fourth quarter. And Somich made a really good point. He said, if you take the Ravens and you're up by 10 in the fourth, the Bengals are going to backdoor cover you. And if you don't have the 3.5, you're going to get in trouble. So for me, that worries me a lot. And I think, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. Now, I say that in 2 years ago, Cincinnati goes into Baltimore. It puts 41 and blows them out, right? Then they go play in Cincinnati. Cincinnati puts 41 on them and blows them out again. But that's a completely different Cincinnati team then than it is now, particularly defensively. Plus, Cincinnati has no run game. Everything falls on the shoulders of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, they average a league worst 74.8 yards per game on the ground. And so we do expect it's going to be a pass-heavy attack from the Bengals and likely a run-heavy attack from this Baltimore Ravens offense. And so what I wanted to ask you about, follow up on a thought, because I asked Somich about the Mitchell Keaton, the rookie from the Baltimore Ravens. When he has had the ball in his hands the last two games, he's been able to have a lot of success. And so he broke out for 138 yards against the Seattle Seahawks 2 weeks ago. Last week against Cleveland, two big plays. He had the 39-yard touchdown run and a 32-yard catch and run for his lone reception, yet only touched the ball four times in the game and was only on the field for four offensive plays in the second half. And so I wanted to get your opinion as somebody who has been around NFL organizations your entire life. When coaches say things in press conferences about usage, how much can we take that at face value? Because John Harbaugh said in his press conference this week that that looking back at last week and the usage for Keaton Mitchell, they regretted not using him more. And that in the game plan this week, they want to make sure that he's a part of it. I personally want to bet his overs today, but I don't know how much of that I can really take at face value.
Well, remember, last week he showed up on the injury report, and they weren't sure he was going to play. And then he had the two big runs that he didn't play. And I think what happens in a lot of games is the guy wasn't with us in practice. He put him in the game. You know, did he tweak it? Did he get hurt? We don't know. But I think what Harbaugh said is the truth. I think he's not blind. He knows for this offense to be really good, this kid has run the ball really effectively. And they need to play him. And so I would expect him to play. I really would. Because you could see the players. I mean, the run he makes against the Browns, I mean, that's a 38-yard touchdown run. If they don't have that run, they don't run the ball. They only gained 106 yards on the day. So I think he'll play, and I think they need him to play, really.
I hope so. I took the over 37.5 rushing yards. I'm seeing it mostly 38.5 now. It's going up. And Samich said, if you like him, he's obviously utilized in the pass game as well. One of his two pop plays was a pass play. 49.5 is the rushing and receiving number. He's also plus 210 for an anytime touchdown. What about Joe Mixon? His rushing yards prop is set at 54.5. We just talked about how much this Cincinnati Bengals team has struggled to run the football. He's gone under this number three the last four games. Ravens are a hard team to run the ball on. Do you think it's another under day for him?
Well, I think he has to go over if the Bengals are going to win, but I think it's an underplay. You know, last week against the Browns, they gave up 178. 2 weeks against the Cardinals out in the desert, you know, they gave up 129 and only 181 yards passing. I mean, they're going to have to run the ball, the Bengals, but he won't call runs. I mean, they don't really want to run the ball. Zach Taylor doesn't want to run the ball. He's 31st in rushing attempts. Only Eric Bieniemy wants to run it less. They're 32nd in yards rushing. Like, they have no run game. And so what happens when you have no run game, like, and you're the head coach and you're the play caller, you just say, I'm not calling any more runs. That's it. I'm done. It's a wasted play. It's a wasted play. That's why they're number two in the league in passing attempts. Doesn't that go hand in hand? You're 31st in rushing attempts. You're second in passing attempts. There's always a balance. But like the Washington team, their yards per attempt is not very good. They're 24th. They're throwing it a lot, but they're not doing a lot with it. They're running a lot. They're not running at all for a good reason because they can't run. Whereas Washington's the reverse. They don't run it, but they're 11th in the league in yards per attempt. It's kind of a different thing.
Well, and I do think, too, Michael, because of what you mentioned about the Ravens' run defense struggling last week and allowing a 100-yard rusher in Jerome Ford, that that's probably been a big point of emphasis for them this week, too, and showing that they're a better unit than they did last week. So I haven't bet Joe Mixon under, but that is where I lean there. One other prop I am considering is Mark Andrews over his either receptions or yards. I'm not sure what I like more, but I feel like he's due for a bounce back, Michael, because the Bengals are a team that has allowed the fourth most receiving yards to opposing tight ends, tied for third most in touchdowns allowed to the position. His anytime touchdowns around plus 150, his receptions number 4.5, yards 58.5. Last week, he only had 4 targets, 2 catches, 44 yards, but that was his lowest and second to lowest in all three of those categories. And since week two, like, he has been the go-to target. So I feel like he should get over his numbers today.
Yeah. And I agree completely because the Bengals have struggled defending the middle of the field.
Yes.
And he'll make plays. They can't match up. Dak Hill is not going to, it's Nick Scott, battle. Those guys are going to struggle against him. This whole secondary is going to struggle. There's no question they're going to struggle. Mike Hilton is the nickel corner. He's too small to play on Andrews. So that they have matchup trouble everywhere across the board, which is why on paper I like Baltimore so much. You know, when you go back to Mixon, right, the difference between Cleveland running the ball on you and Cincinnati trying to run the ball are different. Cleveland wants to run the ball. They have multiple runs. Cincy doesn't. Cincy calls runs just to pass the time. Like, they have no physicality to their team. And when they play against a team like Baltimore, you know, unless they can hit a draw or they can hit some kind of outside zone, it's going to be hard.
They just want to show it's there. It's not an actual threat, but it does exist. We do have somebody that will try.
Just, you know, we'll call a run here. You know, and this is the problem is it's hard to build a championship team without physical toughness in the trenches. And it's hard to win in November and December against physical teams without physical toughness. Because what happens now is you don't practice a lot. You have to rely on all the work you've done. Like, the Bengals are not going to turn around a running game tomorrow because they haven't been practicing a run game for 10 weeks. There's no practice now to do it.
Michael, how will the result of this game factor into how you view each of these teams moving forward? Because the Bengals obviously really, really need a win. And the Ravens, we've seen them have leads and have advantages in the division and then let it slip away the back end of the year.
I still think the Ravens are the best team. Look, they've only been behind 28 minutes in games, according to NFL Network, NFL.com. They've only been behind 28 minutes. And that ranks them in a class of teams that are typically 10-0. The 07 Patriots. I mean, so we know they're really a good team. They've got to close it out, and they've got to be able to run the ball. That's the Ravens. Like, you're right on Mitchell. They've got to run the ball. They want to be balanced. They do not want to be 40 pass, 20 runs. They want to be 25 passes, 30 runs.
And Lamar Jackson, too, as a runner, he's had success in his career against Cincinnati, averaging 79.5 yards on the ground per game. I'm not sure we'll see that. But yeah, I'm hoping we get the Lamar Jackson and the Keaton Mitchell show. Help me get that prop over there later on tonight in prime time. Still TBD on what I feel about that total. Maybe we can revisit that a little bit later. But we're going to step aside when we come back, continuing to look at all of the games on the Week 11 NFL slate that have made significant moves in the line. Get Michael's opinion on those when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $19. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. You can do so at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Time to go through, Michael, a lot of the line moves that we have seen on this Week 11 NFL slate. And no better place to start, I think, than this Steelers-Browns game with the news that came out yesterday that Deshaun Watson is going to be done for the season. Dorian Thompson-Robinson will be the starting quarterback in this game. So we've seen it go from as high as the Steelers getting 4.5 points to now largely plus one. On the contest lines that I know you look so closely at, we're seeing that at Pick'em. So they think that the line's going to continue to move from that standpoint. Michael, right move or wrong move with how much this line has changed?
No, I'm actually shocked that Pittsburgh didn't become the favorite, really. And I think this book is telling us here, and this is why line movement tells you more than anything. You've got to read in between it. It's telling us how much they respect the Browns defense and how little they respect Pittsburgh offense, right? They know that Pittsburgh struggles to throw the ball. Pittsburgh, when they throw for over 200 yards in four games this year, are undefeated. Can they throw the ball against Cleveland? That's going to be a hard thing to do. And Cleveland stopped them from running the ball in the first game. They ran for 55 yards. They tried. They couldn't do it. Now, they scored 26 points. They forced four turnovers on defense, which has been the most points they've scored and the most turnovers they have. So this is a respect movement to the Browns defense, why they haven't flipped to the dog yet.
Just to back up your thought process on Kenny Pickett and the Steelers moving the ball, of the 30 qualifying quarterbacks the last 3 weeks, Kenny Pickett is 29th in yards per attempt, 29th in passing yards per game, 30th in rate of completions to gain 10 plus yards. It has not been good numbers from that standpoint. And also, Michael, not only do we see a move on the spread, but an even bigger move on the total, as high as 38.5 to now sitting 33. Are we getting to the point where maybe that's too low, or do you think it really is going to be just like a full blown rock fight in this instance?
I would be shocked if, when we look at the game book after the game, if each team had more than 9 possessions. I think that unless they can't convert third downs, then, you know, then it becomes you have a lot of possessions, but, you know, no first downs. I would be shocked. The Steelers the last 2 weeks, because they've been able to run the ball, have hit the 20-time first down mark 2 weeks in a row. They had 21 against Green Bay, 20 in the week before. So they've been fortunate. They typically don't get 20. They're not going to get 20 first downs in this game. I think that clock's going to keep running.
The Las Vegas Raiders have won back-to-back games since making the coaching change, but they did have the benefit of facing both of the New York teams. They beat the Giants 30-6, and then had a close one there with the New York Jets here in Vegas 16-12. Now they have gone from a 10-point dog to a 13.5-point dog against the Miami Dolphins this week. Right move or wrong move?
I think it's the right move. I think there's always going to be that sputtering out. You know, they're going to play a 1 o'clock game in Miami, which is a 10 o'clock game for the Raiders. When they did that before they were in Buffalo, they got blown out. I think it's a hard game. And why I think it's a hard game is because I don't think the Raiders can score more than 10 points. And I think Miami will score 30. So therefore, I think anything below that is going to be easy to cover. I think it had to. It's 13.5 in the contest. I think Sunday morning when you and I are doing this show, it'll be at 14.
Yeah. And we know how the Miami Dolphins have had success beating up on lesser than opponents. We got another situation like that this week with the 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs ended a 4-game skid with a 20-6 win over the Titans last week. The 49ers ended a 3-game skid, came out of the bye week with a dominant win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Bucs getting no respect here in this spot. People thinking San Francisco is San Francisco. They've gone from a 10-point favorite all the way up to 12 now and still seeing money. Right move or wrong move back in the Niners?
Well, look, they scored 20 against the Titans defense last week. The Bucs did. And it took all that they could do. They're not going to move the ball effectively. Mayfield will struggle against good defenses. We know this, right? I think it's clearly the right move. You know, the Bucs haven't proven to me they can cover in the back end. We saw the Houston Texans, which runs an offense similar to, but not exactly like, the 49ers. We saw them put up 500 yards on them. I think it'll be this more. I think that'll happen again. I think it's going to be hard for the Bucs to move the ball. I think this line, the only thing you worry about this line is the backdoor cover.
Yep, and Tampa Bay has covered in each of their last three games, despite being just 1-2 straight up in that instance. How about the Rams and Seattle Seahawks keeping it in the AFC, the NFC West here? Matt Stafford was a full participant in practice Wednesday for the first time since he sprained the ulnar collateral ligament in his right thumb. Always love playing, you know, Twitter doctor on all of these things. But the Rams have gone from getting a field goal to now only getting one with that development. Right move or wrong move?
Oh, it's the right move. I mean, Seattle in the opener gained 180 yards against them total in the opener. That's when the Rams were healthy. The Rams gained 426, had 27 first downs in the game. I think this is clearly the right move. I'm shocked the Rams didn't move. It even moved further. You know, I think Seattle, even though they moved the ball really well last week against a bad Washington team, they barely won 29-26. The Rams are healthy. And I'm not saying the Rams are great. The Rams are healthy. And because they're healthy, they'll give them a good game. I think it's the right move.
Yeah, and that's what I at the beginning of the season, you were saying, if you want to back the Rams, now's the time because they're healthy. Now it feels like we have that same narrative. Didn't expect to get that at week 11 in the season, but here we are. Okay, the Dallas Cowboys go from a 9-point favorite. There's a 1.5-point move up to 10.5 in Carolina, taking on the Panthers. Thomas Brown no longer having those play calling duties.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, you're asking yourself this question. The Panthers, can they run the football against the Cowboys? The answer is probably not. They can't run the ball against anybody. Can Bryce Young make a play in the passing game? Probably. Now, the Panthers are healthier defensively. Will they give Dak Prescott trouble? Yeah. Do the Cowboys play less on the road? Yeah. I mean, you know, they went into Arizona and lost. So this line kind of surprised me. It went back up that way. It really did. I would have thought the professional, the people that do it for a living would be on Carolina. Not because they think Carolina is going to pull the upset, only because Dallas is going to want to make sure they get their players that they need out of the game so they can play Thanksgiving Day. I think that's the motivation here. That's why I'm surprised it moved over the 10.5, because you could tease the Cowboys down you know, and you could really, you know, and so it's up there. And, you know, I just think to me, I thought it would come a little bit towards Carolina. I thought people would bet Carolina.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I thought of it more of the look ahead angle, not necessarily from resting their guys, but just like having coming off of such a significant marginal victory like you did. And then looking ahead maybe to that coming week, that's more of my angle. But yeah, that's an interesting perspective too. If they do get such a big lead that Carolina could come back up against some of those backup players. But how disappointed are you in Miles Sanders? Because you talk about the run game and how they haven't been able to run on anybody. I really thought that he was going to do well in this system and he's done nothing. But I don't know how much of that you just put on the offensive line.
Well, but that line could run block last year. That I'm disappointed in Frank Wright. Like everything about this, I think David Tepper has to be too. Yeah. Like they could run the ball last year. They had Sam Darnold at quarterback. They could run the ball. That's the tight ends are the same. The offensive line is relatively the same. And the offensive line coach is the same. What's the common denominator? Frank Wright. It can't run the ball. Their whole run design is simplistic. Last year they had all different kinds of runs. So for me, I think that's the issue. I really do.
All right, let's hit one more here. How about the Houston Texans, who opened as a 4-point favorite? That's gone up to 5 against the Arizona Cardinals, coming off back-to-back big performances from CJ Stroud.
Well, you expected the public to be all over this. I'm not sure that's the right move. I think if you like the Cardinals, you're getting a really good number. The Cardinals, you have to take out what they've done earlier in the year. They've got Murray. They can throw the football effectively, right? They can throw the ball. Now, DeMeco Ryans has played against Murray before. Go back to 2021 when he was the defense coordinator of the 49ers. The Cardinals beat the 49ers twice that year. Twice. And they moved the ball effectively on a good 49er defense led by DeMeco Ryans. So I'm surprised it's going towards the Cardinals, but I'm not, because the public's all over. They're the public team right now. MVP, all that stuff.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud setting the rookie record 2 weeks ago for passing yards, 5 touchdowns last week, carries it over, has another big day. He is what most people have deemed the story of the NFL right now. And I mean, a rightful favorite for offensive player of the year. I'm still not sure I'm buying the MVP talk, but the odds certainly have been cut down significant. Michael, he was 130-1. Now he's 25-1. And I feel like he continues to get play at that number.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got an easy schedule. They have an easy schedule coming ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, because they've been the worst team, right? Like, you get an easy schedule when you've been bad. When we come back, speaking of bad, we're going to talk a little bit about the LA Chargers, because a former player, Sean Merriman, is going to join us coming up next. Looking forward to that conversation. Stay with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Alongside former NFL General Manager Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Excited to welcome in great friend of ours here at VSiN, Sean Merriman, 3-time All-Pro linebacker, former Rookie of the Year, sacks leader in 06, also the founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, available on Fubo TV. And Sean, before we jump into all the great football topics that we have lined up for you, what should people know about the big event you guys have coming up this Saturday in Long Beach? And congrats as well on all your success in the MMA space.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been around this sport for 17 years, man. So, you know, to kind of run the show now with Lights Out Extreme Fighting has been fun. We got a huge fight coming up this Saturday in Long Beach. You can get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com. So if anybody in that Long Beach, SoCal area, you make sure you come to this. We'll also be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports, man. So you don't want to miss this one. As you guys see right there, Victor Roses and Puentes Jr., that one's going to be a banger. We got Alba Morales and Ramos. Alba Morales, former USC guy. Ramos from Nick and Nate Diaz's camp. We have Tommy Aaron back on this card again as well. That's from Tony Ferguson's camp. I believe he'll be at the fight as well. So Jake Woodley, former D1 wrestler. I can't wait for people out there to see him. So get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com and watch us live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports.
Oh, that's awesome, Sean. Let's talk to you about your past team, the team that made you the number one pick. When you were great on defense, has it been hard watching this Charger defense recently? And what did you make of Staley's comments that he's not going to change what he's doing and he's going to keep calling the plays?
Yeah, you know, Michael, to be honest, I've been at every home game. You know, I'm still pretty close to the team, pretty close to the players. And I guess the most upsetting part of everything is you look at their roster and see what they have, and that's the most frustrating part of it, right? How can you not do well with a Derwin James, a Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Tooley, who's playing well? They got guys on defense, so you're scratching your head trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And to me, it just seems like they have a lot on their plate. They're not playing fast, right? They're coming up to the line of scrimmage. The plays are not ready. They're trying to audible adjust on defense. The ball is high. Guys are not in position. And, you know, we've seen against the Jets, they got 7 or 8 sacks. They can play when necessary, but they haven't been playing with passion. They haven't been playing fast. That's my biggest problem with these guys. It's not the players that they have. They have enough talent to get it done.
So who do you put that on then? Like, is it, I mean, Brandon Staley obviously is a defensive mind, and I know his seat was a little bit warm just coming into this season. A lot was going to be put on how they were going to perform. And when your offense is putting up 30 plus points in a game, you shouldn't be losing those games, right?
That's the biggest problem I have with what's going on. You have an offense that is more than capable of putting up 30 plus points a game. You know, as a former defensive player, we always said that, look, if we can hold anybody under 24 points, we should have an opportunity to win every single game. And that hasn't been the case with them. We understand the first game of the year when they played the Dolphins, okay, you're playing a high, high intensity, high explosive team that's going to put up points. We know that. We're going to give up some points there. When you play the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to give up some points there. But you have to have the ability to beat the teams you should beat. The Lions had no business having over 500 yards in offense, had no business scoring over 40 points. That should never happen. Yes, the Lions are a good team, but they're not 40-plus points a game good. And so that falls on the defense. And if his coach is saying that we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, that's not a good sign for anybody. That's not encouraging. That doesn't make the fans, the players feel good if you're not going in and changing anything at all.
Hey, Sean, were you surprised that Staley came back after the meltdown in Jacksonville? That's A. And B, you've been around the Spanos family. Do you think that if he doesn't make the playoffs, it is over with for him there?
Yeah, well, the answer to your first question is I was surprised, but I understood them bring him back because he brought in Kellen Moore, right? So if everybody wants to point the finger at Lombardi, who's a former offensive coordinator there, fine. I think the front office did a great job in going and bringing a offensive coordinator in who can put up points. They've been doing that. Okay, now what's the issue, right? There's no more excuses. There's no more finger pointing. You have a quarterback that has the most explosive, strongest arm in the NFL. You got a Keenan Allen. Mike Williams obviously went down for the year, but Everett, Eckler, you're stacked on offense, right? And they're getting it done. You got to now look, the defensive guys, and I'm not talking about just the players, the coaches at all. They got to go look in the mirror and find out who they want to be for the rest of the season. But I tell you this, they missed the playoffs. I can't see Staley coming back.
Here with three-time All-Pro linebacker Sean Merriman, and another one of your former teams is probably asking themselves a lot of those same questions in the Buffalo Bills, and we see them this past week let go of their offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey. Do you think that could be maybe the wake-up call that this team needs, that things have to change, or how did you perceive that move this week?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when those type of moves are being made, it starts from the top to the bottom, right? So you start to coach, okay, the coach is the problem. Let's move on from him. Then you start looking at the general manager, people who are putting guys in place. They look at him. If they're not the issue, now you got to start looking at Josh Allen and those turnovers, right? I think that we a lot of us keep turning a blind eye. Is he a great quarterback? Yes. Is he going to throw some interceptions here and there? Yes, because a lot of the greats did. Nobody complained when Brett Favre did it. Nobody complained when some of these other guys did it. Peyton Manning did it. They've all thrown interceptions. But you can't have a kind of a repeated situation when you have that kind of team. They're another team that should go out and show well against most teams. But when you turn the ball over two, three times a game, your chances of winning goes down. So they got rid of the offensive coordinator. Okay, they're going to start looking at the GM. Last but not least, I'm telling you what's coming next. They're going to start looking at Josh Allen at some point in time.
Yeah, but it's hard to find another Josh. You could find another Sean McDermott. You can't find another Josh Allen. That's the problem, Sean. And then the biggest issue is in the last three playoff games, they've given up over 33 points a game. You know, yeah, Allen turns the ball over. I get that. You can't do it. But at some point, you know, when you fire the coach, aren't you saying that there's nothing wrong with the defense too?
Yeah, and that just goes down to when you start looking at the hierarchy and who's the problem, right? So now they're going to start going through the entire roster, entire coaching staff, entire front office until we find a problem. And you're right, man, with that defense that they have, and you know Josh Allen's going to go out there and get it done. Yeah, you got to get over as a defensive player. You know you got a quarterback that's going to turn the ball over some because he is a bit risky because – He has these plays. We extend the drives and make things happen. Those work out for the most part. So as a defensive player, you have to have the mentality to know going into each and every week, this is going to be the case. And we can't bend and break when those things happen. That's what's been happening over there. When those turnovers happen from Josh Allen, the defense aren't responding. And that's been a huge issue for them.
We got a fun one on Thursday Night Football coming up tonight with the Ravens and Bengals going head to head. And both of these teams obviously are coming off tough losses and trying to make their push down to see if they could be a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender, even potentially. You have a feel for tonight's game and who might be able to get the better of who?
Yeah. I like the Bengals in this one. We talk about turnovers and I know that people want to stay away from him because I am a huge fan of his as well. Lamar Jackson, he's another one that's been turning the ball over. When he turns the ball over, they struggle winning football games. So they can't do that against the Bengals. I know the Bengals are coming off a loss, but they started to turn things around. And you can tell that Joe Burrow has gotten healthy. That was the biggest issue on early during the season. He wasn't stepping in the pass. He couldn't run around and plant that leg and push off of that calf. He got healthy again. I like the Bengals in this game.
Yeah, well, tell us again, MMA, you got it down at Long Beach. Talk to us about where people can see these fights.
Yeah, if you're in the Long Beach area, the SoCal area in general, this Saturday, doors open at 3 p.m. Pacific. You can get your tickets at lightsoutxf.com, and you will be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports. This is our biggest card yet. You know, last fight, we sold out, and we had 250 people outside. I felt bad, man. I had to have someone to relay the messages and the results of the fights to the people outside. So I encourage everybody to get your tickets this time at lightsoutxf.com.
Yeah, get them early. Get out there. I know that you've said in the past, too, that even in your playing days, you loved MMA. Great way to work on your hands. Like, you getting in there and sparring with anybody?
I do. Fortunately and unfortunately, because mentally I got to tell myself that I'm old, right? So I'm going in to stay in shape, and I'll let these young guns go out there and do it. So I'll do it to a point. I know my place, but I like to stay in it and stay in the mix.
You're the best, Sean. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day
Thanks,
to do this
Sean.
With us.
Appreciate
you
it.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
That is Sean Merriman. And yes, make sure you go check out all of the action on Fubo TV. Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Of course, a fun play on the dance that he became known for back in the day in the National Football League. But great stuff from him on two of his former teams that are struggling right now when they came into this year expected to be contenders. That, of course, being the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Chargers. We're going to take a step aside real quickly when we come back. VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, Mike Palm, is going to join us over the phone. Get Palm's pressing three big picture items for Michael Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way vsin is here to make you a more informed better year-round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at vsin.com. We are wrapping things up here on the Lombardi line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. And while he's not in studio today, excited as always on a Thursday to welcome in great friend of the show, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, Mr. Mike Palm. And even though you're not here, really appreciate you taking some time for us today. Mike, how are you?
Thank you, Stormy. Thank you, Michael. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Where's your height and weight? We need to ring the bell. Love it. Before we get into Palm's Pressing 3, just want to touch on the game coming up tonight. Al Michaels and everyone rejoicing. We have a good Thursday night football game with the Bengals and Ravens. Where's the money going?
Well, we're up to 4 at Circa, so 3.5 all day yesterday, and now we move to 4, total sitting at 46.5.
Who do you like, Mike?
You know, I liked Baltimore a lot last week. They got off to the lead. Didn't work out, which I'm glad because I have a Cleveland over 9.5 future. So if I wasn't going to cover the 6, I wanted Cleveland to win. I thought I was looking good, and then we get the Deshaun Watson news, and then, you know, for Cleveland side, and then I was surprised DTR. But, Michael, I just think that as a rule, you can't lay more than 3 in these AFC North games. It's just no matter what, the inexplicable results, nobody should be more than a 3-point favorite. I can't get there at 4, even though I like Baltimore. I'm not going to have a play on the game.
Me too. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and with that, you know, while we're on Baltimore, that's where we're going to start today's Palm's Pressing 3. Excited to get your big questions for Michael, but I know this first one involves that Ravens offense and Todd Monken.
Yes, Michael. Question 1. After 10 games, what grade would you give Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken on his assignment to create a more potent and balanced offense than his predecessor Greg Roman had? They are 7-3, but have blown fourth quarter leads in all 3 losses.
Well, I would say this. They are 31st in attempting passes. So they haven't really wanted to throw the ball very much. They're 20th in yards. They haven't really gained a lot of yards through the air. They're 20th in touchdowns. They really haven't thrown the ball into the end zone. They're 9th in yards per attempt. So they have made more big plays. They should. They put a lot of money in these receivers, right? They still are the number 2 team in rushing attempts. They still are the number 1 team in yards. They still are the number 2 team in yards per attempt. It's all about their run game, whether it's Lamar's feet, whether it's Lamar, whether it's handing the ball off. This Raven, no matter who's the coordinator, and I don't really think much has changed, honestly. I know Monken, every time they get a first down, we said 5 minutes of looking at him in the press box. They're good. They're throwing it the same amount. They're just making more big plays. So that he deserves credit for that. But they're also healthy. They have their tight ends. I think to me, they'll always be a run team because with Lamar, you got to defend the 6-back attack.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike, I thought you were going to go ahead and ask question number 2, but I'm with you there as it pertains to the Baltimore Ravens. Question number 2, Mike, you're talking about CJ Stroud. I know that he has had back-to-back outstanding games and has got a lot of pub from national media recently.
Michael, this week I've talked to a handful of folks, 2 of which used to be NFL MVP voters, who all said that if the season ended today, they would vote for CJ Stroud for MVP. Are you buying this argument?
I don't know how you can, Mike. I think it's a great story, but we have such short memories in this league. In week 5, right? In week 5 against the Atlanta Falcons, he threw for, you know, they lost that game. He threw for 249. Then he comes back against the Saints and he throws for 177. And then he throws for 119 against Carolina. You know, I mean, to me, I think it's a great story, and I think he's the rookie of the year. But when you're talking about the MVP, you're talking about a guy who puts his team in the first or the second seed in some of the conferences, and he's not going to do that. So I don't get that. But, you know, we are such a what have you done lately for me? I mean, look, Cincinnati has been horrible on defense. Horrible. I mean, we were giving Brock Purdy all sorts of crap for how bad he played against Cincinnati, you know, and they lost, San Francisco lost. Oh, my God, they lost to Cincinnati. Well, everybody moves the ball in Cincinnati. He moved the ball, and he gained 460 yards against Cincinnati, 347 in the air. they turned it over, which is what saves Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense has been able to create 8 turnovers in the last 3 weeks. That's all that saved them. If they don't have that, they can't stop anybody. So I'm not going to get carried away with the Texans moving the ball as effectively. I think it's great. I think he's playing great. MVP, not so fast.
So, Michael, while you don't see him as an MVP, I know that you're also not a huge believer in Trevor Lawrence on the road, and the Texans have a relatively easy schedule down the stretch here. How live are they in the division?
Well, I mean, they killed the Texans. They killed the Jags at home. Lawrence on the road is great. Lawrence at home is not good. That's where Lawrence gets. I mean, I know it's weird, Stormy. I know you just said that and you think, wait a minute, is that right? No, he's bad at home. He's at 6.3 yards per attempt at home. He's at 8.01 on the road. I know it makes no sense at all. And that's what worries you against the Titans. So I think, look, the Titan, the Jaguars got their butts beat. It was a weird game, right? Remember the I think it was the guard took the punt, took the extra, the kickoff back, and they turned the ball over. I think the Jags will play better the next time, even in Houston.
All right, Mike Palm, what's question number 3?
Michael, on Monday night, will we learn more about the Eagles or more about the Chiefs?
More about the Chiefs. The Eagles are good. Well, the Chiefs didn't score in the second half against the Miami Dolphins, and they still won the game 21-14. I think Miami's a real sleeper team the second half of the season, defensively particularly. And so what we need to figure out, Andy Reid, we've seen it, we've read it, we're going to hear it for the next 4 days about how good he is coming off a bye. And he is. He's great. And Mahomes said after the game in Germany, we got to fix this offense. And he's right. They've got to get back to fixing the offense. How are they going to do that? Can they fix it against a Philadelphia secondary? That if you protect, if you can give him time, you can throw the ball against him. Now, the problem is giving them time, and we'll see if the Chiefs' offensive line is the problem. For me, when I watch their tape, this line doesn't play as good as it has in the past. Now, they don't have the great skill players that they had. I mean, they've invested so much. They keep talking about Tony. We're going to save him for him healthy. I mean, what are we saving him for? He averages 6.4 yards a catch. I mean, if it's Mahomes is playing better than he ever has, we got to figure out where they are in terms of their offensive football, in terms of can they put the ball into the end zone and make plays. I mean, right now, they haven't been able to do that. And the other thing is they've turned the ball over way too much. They're 30th in the league offensively in turning the ball over.
Mike Palm, these teams are very different, it feels like, than they were when they played in the Super Bowl last year. How do you view this matchup?
Well, I think the Chiefs are more different than the Eagles are. I think this is the first real road test for the Eagles against a good team. So it should be a fun Monday night game. Michael, we're down to just over 600 entries left in Survivor. I believe Paul Howard is the only VSiN person still alive. Pritch and Mitch both went out, by the way, a radio show back in the day. Both went out with the Bengals this past week. Paul does not have Dallas nor Detroit left. He is using Miami on Black Friday. He does have Philadelphia for Christmas Monday. This week, he's left with the choice of Jacksonville at home against Tennessee or Houston Texans at home against Arizona. Any advice for him? He does have 2 entries left.
I would take Jacksonville, both of them. I don't think Jacksonville is going to lose to Tennessee. If you look at Levis's numbers, they have not been very good. Jacksonville's got to play better at home. I think Jacksonville will. I mean, they've got to get Lawrence going. Peterson said it's because of the injuries he hasn't played as well. You can throw the football very well on the Tennessee Titans secondary. Mayfield did it. I think it's a close game. He's going to have to sweat out both games. But if the one team, I would take Jacksonville here.
Mike Palm, appreciate your time. Wish you were here in studio with us, but we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, see you next Thursday.
That is the one
and
only.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, as well as the D in Golden Gate in downtown Las Vegas. And Michael, I was surprised to hear you say that because we were just talking about Trevor Lawrence's struggles at home. Got to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, but I mean, Tennessee just doesn't have enough with Levis playing quarterback, they just don't have enough. I don't think. It'll be a close game. I mean, he's going to have to sweat it out. Oh. I mean, it's not going to be a walk in the park.
Jacksonville was my survivor loser against Houston earlier this year, so I just cannot trust that team, but I definitely understand where you're coming from. That's a wrap for us today. I'll see you this weekend, Michael. Thanks.